Hello and welcome to another Mike M's Weekly Reads, episode 96. Oh man, I can't tell you what I did, as I had already rambled for about 15 minutes, and I realized on my recorder I didn't switch the input source from the laptop mic to my headset. And that would have been fine and dandy because I'm the only one home. But I was doing my walking thing where I go pacing around the house. And that means a lot of it was like you couldn't even hear. So I had to start all over. So the first thing I want to talk about is a contest that I'm going to have for Mike M's Weekly Reads. This is Mike M's Weekly Reads number 96. And for 96, if you simply retweet it, I will put you in a drawing. On a random number generator to ship you a Batman number 100 page giant exclusive from Walmart. So if you're interested in that and you retweet it, you can get that book. And that includes 14 pages of original content. It includes Batman number 1 Hush. It includes Nightwing number 1 New 52 and a Harlequin number 1 issue. So if you're interested in that, all you have to do is retweet it, and I will put your name in a random number generator. Actually, I'll just record all of your retweets because Twitter will track that. And for the course of let's say a week, if you retweet it any time in that week, episode 96, you will be put into a drawing. And if you don't want it, you can always tell me you don't want it and I will grab somebody else's and you want to retweet it, I will give it to somebody else that needs it. So you just have to let me know if you retweet it that hey, I retweeted it but I'm not interested in getting it. And or you could have your you could win it and then give it on your own contest. So the only disclaimer is it's got to be within the continental United States because I am shipping it and it'll be free if you do want it and you're outside of the United States and you do retweet it. You will have to pay the delta in shipping. So like if the shipping, I usually spend like $6 to get a good shipping within the continental United States, so I have it, you know, packaged properly. And if you want it, I will contribute that $6, but you'll have to pay the delta. So that's how it'll work for international shipping if you win. If you want it. If you don't, that's no problem. So I just wanted to mention what that'll do is it'll help make the show more visible to a lot of other people that might enjoy the show because they're obviously following you and you're into comics and you listen to the show, so yeah, it'll potentially get me more listeners. And the other thing I want to talk about is something I heard on Martin's podcast, and I'm glad I listened in a timely manner because I would have missed out probably on Die, 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 which was a Robert Kirkman exclusive. The idea behind this is it wasn't solicited. He did a good job of keeping it quiet. I don't read Bleeding Cool or any of that other stuff. But speaking of Bleeding Cool, I think his name is Rich Johnston, or Martin interviewed him, or they talked about Batman 50 and a bunch of different new comics. And I really don't like Bleeding Cool. So I've never been interested in chatting with him. But on the interview, one thing I actually loved about Rich was his passion for comics. It came clearly out, and that is what gets me into listening to people is people's passion and love for comics. And that definitely came out in that episode. And so I probably still won't go to Bleeding Cool, but I will listen to him if he's ever on a podcast because I like his enthusiasm. But anyway, I was listening to Comic Talk today. I think it was Tuesday's episode this week. Seems like so it was like Tuesday, and he was talking about the Kirkman book being so it was never solicited, which I don't like. I like things to be solicited. I gripe when things I can't get or I can't control because I'm lazy. I don't want to have to go out and get stuff and worry that I might not get it. I don't like that. But anyway, I went to the comic shop to get this book. Well, not actually to get this book, to get my books, because I get most of my DC comics from probably 80% of my comics I get from the LCS, and I had to go pick them up anyway. So I get there and I saw it and I was like, "Phew, I got a copy." I also had an option through DCBS, but that means I'd have to put in my order immediately, and I usually kind of late in the month doing that order, right? But I have to save the industry and I have to get that order in soon. So I went in. The other thing I was interested in, so I got the Kill Kill Kill. The interesting thing about that, it wasn't solicited, so you couldn't buy it, but for the stores that purchased Oblivion Song, got copies of this for so they could sell. And I obviously wanted a copy, and I told him, go ahead and put it on my pull list at the shop, because he was already getting number two, and I wanted to get it, because I like his writing. I like his potential to do, and then that he's a name that has potential to put it on TV and movies stuff is also a good reason to get this stuff. Because then it might get too expensive once something, if it's phenomenal, like Walking Dead, it might get expensive. But anyway, he did this so he could encourage people to go to the LCS, like back in the day when you went to the LCS on Wednesdays to get your books. And he wanted to generate excitement. I didn't know it was offered digitally. If it was offered digitally, I wouldn't have worried so much, because then I wouldn't have had to necessarily go pick it up. I could have just got it digitally and say, "Hey, you did that." But it all turned out good and it was simple. Picked up the copy of Die Die Die. I keep on wanting to say Kill Kill Kill, but that's Jason Voorhees' song from Friday the 13th. Kill 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 Kill. Pop 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 pop. Boop 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 boop. People always tease me with that too, and I have to always correct them. I said, "No, I'm Michael Myers from Halloween." It goes doo 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 doo. It doesn't go kill 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 kill. Golly, people get it wrong all the time. They see that I'm Mike Myers and they fuck it up. So the other thing was I cracked on, like, you thought I was going to be strong, right? You probably said, "Oh, Mike's making cutbacks on comics." Well, some of the cutbacks that I decided to do for that month is that showing up now, I had to pick up. So I picked up Cosmic Ghost Rider, which I had already picked up digitally, so now I own two copies because I wanted to read it. I went to Albuquerque on a trip before, and I wanted to load my iPad with some stuff I wanted to read. And I knew I had to get Batman 50 because I didn't want to get spoiled. I got Catwoman number one because I was worried about spoilers. I got Cosmic Ghost Rider because I wanted to read it. And I wasn't sure I could get it. I thought it would sell out, so I wanted to read it digitally. I picked up a bunch of other number ones from Insane Comics, which I liked. I picked up Monica's Friendship Paradox 4, 5, and 6 was phenomenal. And I have to tell Bill that we gotta cover this on Geek Brunch. I really liked where it goes. Lots of plot threads, and I was very interested in her. Where things were going with Friendship Paradox. And what else? There might have been a few others that I got. But anyway, when I got back to the shop, I picked up X-23, which I said, "No, I'll wait till Marvel Unlimited." I cracked. I bought number one. And Amazing Spider-Man number one, I cracked. I knew I was going to crack on that one. Cosmic Ghost Rider, I don't know why I didn't get, because I'm all in on Ghost Rider, at least trying to complete all the volumes, so why would I accept this one? I'm almost done with the Danny Ketch run. I have 3 issues to go. Two of them are on my next order. One of them isn't available from mycomicshop.com. That's annual number 2. And then I've completed all of Ghost Rider Volume 2. On Volume 1, I own all the Marvel Spotlights. I have all the Ghost Riders from 28 and higher. And then I have number 1, 3, and a sporadic number between that and 28. And I need to finish that. But it is on my agenda to finish it. And then I think I have in print every mini series and volume from that point on. Minus maybe Spirits of Vengeance. So that's something I'll have to conclude. But that's the other thing I cracked on is I was like, oh, I'm gonna not get any Image books that month, and I ended up picking Outpost Zero. And since he was on the computer, I said, go ahead and order me a farmhand because I held back. So I'm breaking. I'm breaking. You guys didn't help me. You guys didn't call and support me cutting back on comics. So I'm back where I'm starting. I fuck it. You guys don't care. You guys don't help me cut back, so I gotta save the industry and buy everything. So that's what I broke down. But anyway, that Kirkman thing, because it was comic shop, I think it should have been two comic shops only. I don't think they should have released it digitally. For one thing, they always do digital first. So why can't this be paper first and then wait, make those digital people wait a month on this book because it serves your purpose to try to get people into the shop. And for some people, it probably would have worked that are digital. It probably, like Daryl, he would have said, fuck it. I'm not going to the comic shop to get die. And I understand that they would have lost out on a lot of money on this thing because it was a surprise. It has publicity behind it. So releasing it on Comixology was probably a good thing. But it kind of defeats the purpose to me to go to the comic shop and experience something before Comixology even existed on demand. So if I was them and I had as much deep pockets as Robert Kirkman, I would have held back on the digital release. Give us paper first. They have digital first. Why can't we have paper first? Because paper is 80% of the market, maybe more. Last time I heard numbers, I was hearing 10 to 12% is digital. So make them wait. Give the paper people a reward every now and then. That's just my thoughts. The digital people right now are doing the middle finger on their iPhone right now, or their phone as they're listening to this. Big middle finger to me. That's all right. That's how I feel. But I think it defeated the purpose of the letter that Robert Kirkman wrote saying, hey, remember when you were younger and you were the Wednesday Warrior and you had to go to the comic shop to get your books and you might not have had a pull list? Well, then make it simulate that. That's my whole point on die. The other thing I want to talk about is there's a Dan DiDio video or one of those videos that DC does every week tells you what comics are coming out. And on this one, the lady, I don't even know what her name is. I don't usually watch them, but this time I watched it because they were going to talk about something I wanted to hear, a Wonder Woman creator. I wanted to know who the Wonder Woman creator was. And it was just the small part of the video. The video was pretty long. I think it was 20 minutes long. And I wanted to hear who the Wonder Woman is. G. Willow Wilson is going to be writing Wonder Woman, who does Miss Marvel. So I don't know if she's quitting Marvel and coming over to DC, but she will be taking over. I guess Robinson is coming off the book Orlando's going to do a couple of issues to transition, and then G. Willow Wilson is going to take over that. And I remember her back when she did DC. She did the Vixen miniseries, and she did a Vertigo series called Air. So I have both of those. So looking forward to her getting back into the DC fold. And then the other thing they showed, I was kind of disappointed to hear the DC Black Label was going to be in this weird format, a bigger size, more European look to it. And I was like, how am I going to store this shit? And then they showed it, they showed a little glimpse of what it looked like, and it changed my mind. I don't care how I'm going to store it, I'll find a way. I like the format that they're putting these DC Black Labels in. He had a copy of that. I was pleased to see that. And then the other big thing they showed was the Death of Superman animated series. When it came out, I was like, didn't they just do this? It was Superman Doomsday. I watched it already. Why are they doing it again? But what I understand is this will be closer to the adaptation. But I wish they would have kept the costumes in sync. Like the Wonder Woman costume was off, and then the Superman costume was the New 52. And I was okay with the New 52 one, except I'm with Rob Krieger on the collar. He has that awful looking V collar. I mean, the neck, it goes up on his neck like he's wearing a turtleneck and then has a V right where his Adam's apple is. Oh, I don't like that at all. I guess that was a Jim Lee design. It just didn't work for me. I agree with Rob. I wanted the red trunks and the red boots, and I wanted the Justice League International, because that was one of my favorite issues of the Death of Doomsday, is when he trampled on Justice League International. Blue Beetle and Booster and Guy Gardner and all those guys fighting, trying to fend off Doomsday before he got to Metropolis. But I will be buying that. I guess it's a two-parter. I don't know how they're going to release it. I guess maybe one DVD and another, kind of like they did the Dark Knight Returns. But and then they talked a little bit about they're going to announce a lot of the shows or premiere a lot of stuff at San Diego Comic-Con for their streaming service. Which I gotta figure out how to pre-sign up for. I signed up for the newsletter, but I never got anything, so I gotta go figure that out. Maybe I'll IM Martin. He's in the click of the know, and just say, where do I need to sign up? So I'm automatically ready. And so that's sort of the stuff that I wanted to talk about. And what else did I want to talk about? So I still haven't read Batman and Catwoman in paper, but I have read Batman three times digitally. I read Catwoman digitally once and then looked through it twice because there was a comment by Monica and Martin about the colors. And man, does the colors look great. That whole book looks fantastic, but I could see how it could be off for somebody. It almost has like a 3D rendering to the colors, like there's an extra layer there. It's Laura Allred, so yep. Oh, I want to talk about one other thing. Man, this is gonna be a long episode, but this is gonna be the one where you can win a Batman. If you listen to the episode and retweet it, you could win a Batman 100-page giant from a Walmart exclusive. So what I ended up doing for the is going back to Walmart, and I was able to find, so I have my copies, right? And I found all three copies, and Teen Titans is getting murdered immediately as soon as it sells out right away because the ratio is just so low. But I was able to pick up some, and I'm going to offer them as prizes in Mike M's Weekly Reads. So that's how it goes. I also made a purchase today. And I'm going to complete another Marvel series. But that's going to be coming. I'll be talking about it in a future episode when they arrive. What else did I want to talk about? There was one other thing. Oh, I wanted to talk about in general about, people encouraging people to buy indies. I get that. Because indies need more help than Marvel or DC. But I wanted to talk about my thoughts on it because I know what would happen if I was limited. If I was limited, I would just get DC and Marvel. Not because they're better, but because I'm vested and I want to know the history of the character. Like I want to know the good, I want to know the bad, I want to know when things come back, I want to know when they revert back, when they change, when they're creative. I want to know when it sucks. I want to know everything about these characters. It's a soap opera. And that's what I want. Whereas, like the Image books and the other books, I'm not as vested. The stories could be spectacular, and they could be 5 out of 5s as opposed to a DC, which might just be a 3 out of 5. But I'm not vested in it. Like, it's strange, and everybody's going to have a different opinion on that. Some people's theory would be like, well, if I'm limited in how many comics I'm going to buy, I'm going to buy the best of the best. And that's the logical choice. That's what you should do. And you should strive to, if your budget is $40 a month, or I don't even know how you could have a budget of 10 anymore. That's like 2 comics nowadays. But if you let's say you have a $40 budget, I think it's a good idea to, if you're not hot on a book, to explore something else, because there's plenty to explore. But if you stay in Marvel and DC, I wouldn't say any different because I would do the same damn thing because I care about Spider-Man. I care about the Fantastic Four. I care about Batman. Whereas if you give me this great sci-fi story, I don't know those characters. I haven't been reading them for years. I don't need to follow it. Yeah, I might miss the best story that ever happened, and it's being adapted to a movie, but that's just the way my brain works. There's a lot of wonderful independent comics, and I'm lucky I get to explore a lot of them. I'm a l lucky to buy most of everything, but I just am not as attached to it, with the exception of like things that are long running, but they fall in that Marvel and DC paradigm. Like if you got Savage Dragon and Spawn and stuff like that, like I want to keep the journey going on for those. So there are exceptions to the rule, but they fall more into the Marvel and DC paradigm of continuing that soap opera, continuing that history for me. So that's just how I feel. I think there's a lot of stuff that I think if I wasn't so vested and I was a newer reader, I would be more willing to try stuff if I had a limited budget. But when it comes down to it, make mine Marvel and DC. And if I had to choose between those two, it'd definitely be DC. And in other words, there could be a fantastic Marvel book, Incredible Hulk. And if I had to give up Flash, it wouldn't stand a chance, even though Incredible Hulk to me is better than Flash right now, because I can't give up my Flash. I can't. It can't. It means too much. The character means too much to me. It's in my heart and soul, and I want to know everything about that character. Okay, that's enough of me mumbling on. I'm gonna get to a few questions. I didn't get many, but Nick came to the rescue. Thank you, Nick from Nerdy Legion. Go check that podcast out, which is still my favorite podcast. The chemistry behind Martin and Nick is just, it's like you want to hang out with these dudes. Like you just want to be there in the conversation. That's what makes a great podcast, in my opinion. I have a few. Aaron kind of gave me a question a long time ago. I don't remember the context of it, and I forgot to cut and paste it from Twitter, but I remember the gist of it. I was talking about, was it the unexpected? Oh, the Immortals. And I think you wanted to know how I feel about the New Age of Heroes in general. And my general impression is I like it just because it's new and fresh. And I like when they inject heroes, man. When Armageddon, the aliens came out of that or invasion thing, and the aliens were biting people's necks on Bloodlines. Sorry, it's Bloodlines. And they introduced all these new characters. I was all in, man. Gunfire and loose cannon and all of that stuff. I wanted it all because it was new. And that's what New Age of Heroes feels like to me. And it feels fresh. And it's fun to look at the books and see how they map to Marvel because it's really like a Marvel universe. I can't wait to read The Unexpected because The Unexpected seems to map to the Defenders. If you listen to, it's one of my favorite groups of all time. So I'm looking forward to checking that out. I've read most everything, but I haven't read Unexpected or the New Challengers. And I'm always behind because I'm a mood reader, so but I will get to it. I think it's fantastic. I think the New Age of Heroes is better than the series that launched it. Dark Knights, Metal. I loved the way it started. I absolutely loved it. But for me, it was just too convoluted. Like it. And even though I like really loved the Justice League so far, I could see, those are some complaints I can understand that Snyder is putting too much. He's making too there. If he could focus a little bit, I think he would have a better comic book. But he has all these great ideas, and there are a bunch of ideas, and he's throwing stuff at the wall, and he's not really fleshing out a lot. But man, does it start off good. But in my opinion, I'm enjoying like New Age of Heroes much more than the Metal series, with the exception of the first two comics. The first two comics were 5 out of 5s, phenomenal. And I still haven't finished reading all of the Dark Knight Metals tie-ins. I think I got about 4 of them, but man, I just needed to get away from the darkness for a while and lighten my mood a little bit. So I hope that answers your question, Aaron. You asked the other one too about Lionforge, but I haven't got back to that. I'll have to get to their universe soon because I have it all. I just haven't read it. It'd be interesting to see if it's as good as when Valiant launched or some of the other universes that launched. My next Dead Universe, I want to get Atlas. I started to put Atlas in my queue for the next purchase. I want to complete that. Some of those are going to be hard, and some of the series only lasted like 3 issues. So, like in terms of quantity, I think I could finish the universe, but I think there's going to be like some of the romance ones and some of the ones that are real obscure. They're going to be hard to fill. Because I would have already started poking around on eBay and my comic shop and other places, and I'm like, holy crap, these things are going to be hard to flesh out, some of them. So, at MythMakingETC asked a simple question: have I been to comic shops outside the US? No. Matter of fact, I haven't really been outside the US. The closest I could tell you that I've been to is Mexico when I was a kid on several vacations, but that was when I was very, very young, and I haven't been there since. So, no, I haven't. It would be nice to check out comic shops in other countries, but I haven't done it yet. The next question is from Nick. Comes to the rescue with several questions. When you think about comics, where does it that usually take place normally? That's a good question. Really, it's 24/7. But even my office at work, what I do is I get those archive calendars, and they're awesome because they make posters out of them. Like you could tear them apart and make posters, and they're classic cover comics. And I have my whole office decorated with it. Plus, I got some pop figures on everywhere, and so it's hard not to think of comics even when I'm knee deep in work. But the time I like to think about comics the most is at night when I'm home. On Saturday mornings, I love thinking about comics. In the middle of the night, when I can't sleep, I love thinking about comics. When I'm driving, I'm thinking about comics. they're such a big part of my life. They exist to make me happy. They exist to make me escape. They're just joy. I mean, they're pages of art that people put their soul in and their writing, and I'm gonna tear up just talking about it. I love them so much. They were always there for me when times were tough. They're always there. And they are my escape. And they make me happy. They were the reason I chose my occupation. They have nothing to do with comics, but when I saw Kirby's devices and stuff, I was like, "Ah, shit, I want to be an engineer." Plus, I wanted to make money to support my comics. And I never thought they'd get as expensive as they did, but hey, those creators need to have a paycheck too. They need to be able to eat. They can't be living off of ramen noodles. So their rates went up, and you got to pay for all the infrastructure and everything. And less people are reading them. Less people care. Because when I grew up, TV had four channels. You had NBC, ABC, PBS, and CBS. And you rode your bike, you played, you had no devices, and when TV was watched, it was either on Saturday morning cartoons, which you'd get up in the morning and watch the color bars on your screen until the cartoon started. You'd have an internal alarm, because I had no alarm clock. It would just go off. And it was like Christmas morning on Saturdays. I gotta get there to watch my cartoons. And sometimes I'd fall asleep around 11 because I got up so damn early to watch the bars on the screen. But most of the stuff was playing with friends in the neighborhood, doing stuff, reading comics. Comics were that entertainment. And I'm so glad that I grew up when I did. Because if I grew up a decade later, I might have been more obsessed with video games. I might have been more obsessed with certain things that would have dominated my entertainment and changed my opinion of how what I am. I am comics. What defines me? My family, comics. And that's who I am. My job, they define me. So they're a big part of my life, and they always will be until I part this world. And then maybe I'll burn some of my comics with me. Just light me on fire with my comics and a Viking funeral. Of course, keep the ones that are worth money, but you can throw some of those dead universes on there and light them on with me. So I can go off with the dead universe comics. But man, I just ramble. But so I think about comics all the time. But I especially think I like to think about them when I'm free, when I'm not working, when I'm home, and it's me and the comics. I even like love to walk my dog. Like it's like a list about podcasts about comics. So they're such a big part of my life. Matter of fact, my DVR is so full, I haven't even watched all the animated series that I own because of comics. What is your favorite green chilies dish? So that's not comic related, but I love green chili and I'll put it in anything except my cereal. But my favorite is my wife's green chili chicken enchiladas. They are so good. And I like them when they're hot. I like them when the chili is above medium, just slightly above medium, so I don't burn. But with that green chili, oh my God, that's good. I love it on breakfast, like green chili with eggs and a burrito or any kind of thing like that. I love it. I love green chili on pizza. It's my favorite topping. Pepperoni second, but green chili, when you can get it, a good green chili. Oh my God. Obviously, in any Mexican dish, green chili. Except when I eat carne adobada. If I eat carne adobada, it has to be red chili. Matter of fact, we went to this place called, oh God, I can't remember the name of the restaurant. Maybe if I Google it, waffles in New Mexico. Let me see, Albuquerque. I'm gonna Google it live here. Waffles, New Mexico. Albuquerque, Albuquerque. Okay. Oh, it's Tia B's La Waffle Laria. It's near Nob Hill in Albuquerque. And man, this place packs it in. Like, it's got a 4.5 rating. But I was caught unprepared. I didn't really know we were going to this place, even though my mother-in-law said, you should look at the menu. For one thing, you have to like go up there and order, and then they bring the dish out to you. So you don't really get a long time to look at the menu because you're going in line to place your order. And I never had like stuff on my waffle before, but like when you order the waffle, this was like it was a blue corn waffle, which you can get a lot of blue corn pancakes and stuff in New Mexico. So blue corn waffle covered in red chili, eggs, and carne adobada, and it's just chill like a chili meat, chili pork. And the lady there said, "Are you sure you want the red chili?" And I was like, "How can you have green chili with carne adobada? It just doesn't go with it. That's the only thing that I have to have the red chili for, really. Even though I love red chili." But she said, "Hey, it's hot." And I'm like, "Pff, I'm from New Mexico. I can eat hot chili." Oh my God, was it hot! And usually when it's hot, I am fine. I can tolerate it. Going down, it's the other part. It's rough. I'm getting too old for that shit. But if you're in New Mexico, I highly recommend you go get waffles at Tia B's La Waffle Area. So I hope that answers your question. But my favorite green chili dish is definitely Barb's chicken enchiladas. Covered in green chili and cheese. Oh, Lord. Good stuff. Let me find my questions again. Your next question from Nick is, what is your favorite movie soundtrack? Wow. That one's easy, and I think I've talked about it somewhere else, but it's the Rocketeer soundtrack. It's one of the only soundtracks that puts the orchestral music along with the 40s music. So you have like da 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 da, you have it, they use that Rocketeer in several commercials, in several previews before a movie has its own soundtrack. It's just a wonderful soundtrack. And it's my favorite superhero movie, the Rocketeer. because it's simple. It's like what a true hero is, and it keeps things simple by being in the 40s. And the innocence of it is just phenomenal, and I love it. The other soundtracks that I love the Danny Elfman Batman. I'll put that out there. The Superman has got to be up there. Star Wars soundtrack, obviously, with Empire. It has to have the Empire, the Darkness, a song. Da, 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 da. Battlestar Galactica. Oh my God, what a soundtrack. Rum bum 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 butter dum bum bum butter dum bum bum bum. Another one that really surprised me, it's my favorite Star Trek soundtrack, and I have it on CD still, is Star Trek: The Undiscovered Country. It's my second favorite Star Trek movie behind Wrath of Khan, the original. But yeah, I some great movie soundtracks. My favorite goes to Rocketeer. If you put like musical ones in there, Rocketeer would still win because it's got the Andrews Sisters. It's got remakes of a lot of 40s music, and I love 40s music. Matter of fact, I don't know what the station is now on Sirius, but it used to be called 40s at 4. It's now 40s or something. I don't know what it is. But I listen to it all the time. I liked it when it was better. 40s, 50s, 60s, and it was where you could find it easy. 40s at 4. I don't know why they moved it. Maybe because it wasn't so popular, but I love the 40s music. But I'll give props out to two soundtracks that came out recently. But it's for they're more like musical. They're not orchestral, and the soundtrack for Suicide Squad, absolutely phenomenal. And I'll tell you right now, I love the soundtrack for Deadpool 2. Matter of fact, I bought it. Yep, that's it. Why do you buy it when you can stream? Ah, I buy it because I'm a physical media freak. So great questions, Nick. I could talk about these for hours. What omnibus will be next since I finished the Clone Saga? I'd highly recommend that one because it went places. Oh yeah, it did, and Ben Reilly still has a series and he's always around. And I do want to finish it. I saw some of the books that you were reading, and I was surprised that some of them weren't in my omnibus actually. Some of the Venom events, and might have to seek out. Read them because they might not be in the omnibus. So I'm even thinking of getting the Ben Reilly omnibus, which is what follows, I think, Clone Saga. But it all depends on what that, because there's three omnibi I want this month. There's the one that I'm going to get for sure, Conan the Barbarian, the original from Marvel. That one's a must buy. The two that are on the potential, but they are highly desired, is the Guardians of the Galaxy pre-Valentino. I already have the Valentino one, but they have an omnibus for the Guardians of the Galaxy, collecting all the their appearances prior to Valentino's ongoing of the Guardians of the Galaxy. So that one would be my second choice. My third choice is the Ben Reilly one, and I might be able to do them all because there are not any omnibi that I want from DC this month, with the exception of I do want the there's the Shazam Monster Society of Evil Golden Age collection. I do want to get that. That is gonna be awesome. So I think. I think I want to get into that Alpha Flight. I started the Alpha Flight omnibus, and a lot of it is X-Men early on, before they got their own series. But I don't remember a lot, even though I don't have a full series of Alpha Flight either. But I did get some of the early issues with John Byrne, so a lot of it would be fantastic. The other one I got my eye on, and I haven't decided on yet if I'm going to do it, is the West Coast Avengers Omnibus by John Byrne. So many good omnibi. But the clone one is probably ranking up there with those two right now. And then I have so many of the DC omnibi from Silver and Golden Age. There's just too many good stuff and not enough time. I need to retire so I can just read all day. So that's this episode, and man, there's so much that I have my weekly reads. This is already clocking in at 45 minutes. So I'm gonna go through these books really, 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 really fast. And I'm gonna do 2 weeks because I need to try to catch up. So if I do 4 a week, I'll eventually get closer and closer to catching up. So we have for the week of October 9th, 2017 through October 15th, 2017, I read a lot of books these 2 weeks. I read 36 that 1 week, and I had 18 Marvel, 1 Dynamite, 16 DC, and 1 Charlton. We're going to start with the 3 out of 5s. And actually, Iceman was a disappointment for me. I started with Iceman number 6 because it was a Champions reunion. They were there to discuss their fallen comrade Black Widow, which died in she died in a Marvel event. And which one was that? There's so many events now. It's starting to blur. It's the one where Captain Marvel had the showdown with Iron Man, and he became a computerized entity and sort of dead. Black Widow also died. What am I blanking on that series? Was it Secret Empire? Maybe it was Secret Empire. I think she died in Secret Empire. I really enjoyed this, but did not care for the bar scene where they all had to be the wingman for Iceman getting a date. It was kind of ridiculous. You know, you're there to mourn your friend, and he was, I don't know, I didn't like that. And I love the Champions. And I think Xena Grace does this. And matter of fact, I'm going to look at this because he did a book that I love, so I was surprised I didn't like this one. Matter of fact, he's got another Iceman series coming. Yeah, Xena Grace. So I'm going to click on what he did. An Image book is freaking phenomenal. At least I thought he did. Huh. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. Did something called Picture Books with Pictures Burn the Orphanage Down, and I didn't buy that. So I am thinking of somebody else that did a book that I really love from Image Comics. I thought it was him. But if you don't know, they made Iceman gay. So this book focuses on a lot of relationship stuff with Iceman, more than it does like the adventures or what I was hoping for is just being with the Champions again. There were glimpses of like a couple panels where I was like, oh, I want that. And it just went away too soon. But I gave it a 3 out of 5 because I enjoyed it. It was the Champions. Started off really good. But I just jumped in because it was the Champions, and I kind of jumped off as soon as the Champions arc was over. That was a 3 out of 5, which means I liked it. Another 3 out of 5 is Justice League 26 to 28. The children of the Justice League travel back to the past to stop a very dark future and meet their parents. Kids go with their parents and get uncomfortable, but decide they need to kill Aquaman to save the future. So you had other versions of the children from the Justice League coming to the past, and they needed to kill Aquaman. It was interesting. I enjoyed it. Wasn't fantastic. We had the Charlton Arrow number 1, volume 2. This Nova goes back home with E-Man to celebrate the sister's birthday, only to get set up in a trap. This had Mr. Mix-It is a new hero and gain powers from a magic comic spinner rack. That one was interesting to get powers from a spinner rack. It had an issue of Monster Hunter. This is all new material, by the way. Lured into a trap by a bunch of monsters, but he was prepared with backup. So, E-Man was a series from Charlton. I think I own most of it. Monster Hunter, I think I own one issue, and it came out as a modern comic. Mr. Mix-It, I don't know if I ever heard of this character, if it was just created for this book. But the Charlton Arrow started off as like a Facebook page, believe it or not. And they started to publish a book called Charlton Arrow, which you had to order through Facebook or, and they'd send it to you direct. And sometimes you could find them at a con, like where they had one creator selling the Charlton Arrows. And this was the first one that was solicited through Diamond. I can't remember the publisher. It begins with a C that published it. I just called it Charlton. But when it was released in Volume 2, it was not through their Facebook page, it was actually through previews. We then get into 3 out of 5s, Man-Thing 1 through 5. This was not the original Man-Thing by Gerber, or else it wouldn't be a 3 out of 5. This was the guy that wrote. He's an author. Man-Thing. I didn't hate it as much as some people, but it was R.L. Stine that wrote it, with art by Germaine Pernatella and Daniel Johnson. And it was in 2017 and it was 5 issues. Man-Thing can talk now. That's what made it really weird. Because he was always a character of circumstance and the circumstances around him, but he couldn't voice anything. So this kind of took that out. And he gets fired in Hollywood. He was actually working in Hollywood. He fights with himself and can't talk anymore. As he goes back into the swamp and tries to save a female scientist he once knew. Things are very strange, and the nexus of all realities he protects is open. He goes into the nexus to save the old farmer from a villainous woman and her brothers, and the rescue's complete, and he ends up in a world of man-things. It had a bad ending, but some cool backups. So, yeah, I'm glad that it existed, but it wasn't like, I think above we have some Adventures into Fear and stuff, which I absolutely loved. We then get into Centipede 3 out of 5. Centipede number 3, Dale recalls his childhood with a father that he could never accept him and a mother who loved him more than anything. He also has flashbacks with the man he loves. He fights off spiders and takes an acid trip after eating a plant. So that was the Atari from Dynamite Publishing. We have Mr. Miracle number 3 from DC Comics. Scott recalls a dream of a Christian child. Why did I say told by Granny? Oh, it's the story's told by Granny. Forager requests help from Scott from Orion because he does not care about the bugs, the bug people, and Forager's a bug. Scott gets beat up by Orion again, and Menton. Oh, mention. There's a mention of Dr. Bedlam, who I think he's behind this not being real. That's what I think. I'm behind in reading this one, but I think all that suicide stuff and the weird stuff that's going on is Bedlam just fucking with Scott. Or Desaad. Could be Desaad. Spirits of Vengeance, Volume 1, Number 1. This was either Victor Gershler or one of those guys that I like a lot doing a miniseries for Marvel. A mysterious character is shot with a bullet that may come but contain evidence of a mystical conspiracy to destroy the Earth. Johnny Blaze, Hellstorm, and Blade join forces to stop him. I rated that a 4 out of 5. It was the first 4 out of 5 I had. We had Marvel 2-in-1 Volume 1, so this isn't the new one. Thing goes after a creature, Man-Thing, who is destroying his name. Molecule Man was banished by the Watcher and is now aging rapidly, and tells Sun to go to Earth with a magic molecule wand and destroy the FF. He turns Ben and Ted back to human. What, you know, Man thinks was never Ted Solace. He turns him back. And then back again before the thing knocks the wand out of his hand and he ages like his father until he dies. So Molecule Man supposedly died in this issue, but he didn't. Or this is the son of Molecule Man. I can't remember. Action Comics 988. This was Jor-El tells his son how he survived and how awful humanity is and wishes he never sent him to Earth. He wants to take him away. A bomber goes to Daily Planet to blow it up, and Lois confronts the bomber. She is saved by Jor-El. Superman tries to deal with the catastrophes started by Jor-El, his father. We have Royals number one. Medusa decides to follow Captain Marvel to start up the Terrigen Mist again. This is after it went away. Marvel has other motives. And this is Marvel. Marvel. It's not the woman Marvel. It's the other Captain Marvel. So we have Action Comics 985 through 987. Superman and Lex versus the Machinist. As he's taking control over several people and animals in many countries, Gilliam marches on pencils. Lex, now controlled by the Machinist. Machinist. It's not machine. Either I spelled it wrong. And fight Superman. Superman gets Lex to overload the armor and defeat the villain. Later, Lex is visited by Mr. Oz. Mr. Oz is controlling humanity with Z-Tech, and Superman is getting overwhelmed. Mr. Oz was revealed to be Jor-El. So, and then that issue I just talked about was the subsequent issues to 985 through 97. We then get to Batman 28 and 33. So I want to say, this was The War of Jokes and Riddles by Tom King. Really enjoyed it. I really like it. The top 4 out of 5 for me. So for those who always see me not liking something by Tom King, yeah, I like this. The War of Jokes and Riddles. As Batman continues to tell the story of Batman, tells the Catwoman how he almost committed murder. Riddler is foiled by Kite Man after the death of his son. So it gave some more Kite Man backstory, too. We have the 5 out of 5s. Speaking of Man-Thing, we have Adventures into Fear, number 10. Ted Salas' origin as he saves a baby thrown from a bridge by an awful father. These were dark Steve Gerber tales, man. Goes after the father and gives him a touch of fear. Better watch out for the touch of the man thing. It burns. Howard the Duck, 8 through 11. Howard runs for president and looks like his chances are good until a bellboy reveals him in a fake picture with him and Beverly in the bathtub. So it's like an animal having sex with a human. Then goes to Canada to find the bellboy and defeat him and the beaver man he is working for. Howard caught in a fever dream and decides to leave Beverly and return to Cleveland on a bus to nowhere. Love it. Steve Gerber. All-Star Batman 13 and 14. This worked for me, didn't work for my fellow Gotham by Geek friends. But I really like this series. It's the backstory on Alfred being trained by Breyer. Batman and Alfred defeat Breyer and Son. It had Vicky Russian fighting Batman as he tries to prevent the distribution of weapons. The father turns on his daughter. That was the backup story. Defenders 22 through 25 is the top 5 out of 5 for 10-9 through 10-15. It was the Defenders versus the Sons of Serpent, which is a racial organization that is really hates any kind of race other than white. And The defenders and man, the Sons of the Serpent took out most of the defenders. This was why I loved the defenders. This arc right here is why I loved and became addicted. I can't remember the issue if it's 23 or 24. I got this issue off the spinner rack, and I was blown away because it was like my Empire Strikes Back. It was like, how are these guys defeating the Hulk? It had Nightwing, Doctor Strange, Daredevil, I can't remember, Yellowjacket, all, and Yellowjacket wasn't even a member. He just stumbled across this, and either was Daredevil. It had other members that had to help in this thing because they took out the Hulk, they took out the Defenders. It had them all in like serpent things around their bodies as they were hanging there. Oh man, I love this thing so much. So then we get into 10/16 through 2017 through 10/22. Another big week. Total of 45 comics, 2 Valiant, 38 Marvel, and 5 DC. We get Batman and Shadow number 1 is a 3 out of 5. This was a Dynamite DC collaboration, and this was my lowest scoring one of them teaming together because it became a bigger book for me. But it was Batman after the Shadow for the death of Lamont Cranston, which is an alias of the Shadow. This leads to them to the Joker. It was a pretty confusing issue, and that's why I gave it a 3 out of 5. We have Bane Conquest 2 out of 3 is a 4 out of 5. Batman and Bane work together to take down Dionysus and Demolecules. We have, which are Greek things, but I don't know how to pronounce them. We have Incredible Hulk number 222. The Hulk fights the military and runs across two children. They have a brother that was going to eat Bruce like he ate animals and the parents. It was like a monster brother. So this monster brother in a cave, he killed the parents, and he probably was gonna kill the two brothers, brother and sister. The cave collapses on brother monster, and Hulk escapes. We have Batman 222. Batman and Robin have to uncover a mystery of the Beatles-like band who think the lead singer is a fraud, but it turns out the rest of the band is a fraud because they died in a plane crash, and the lead singer tried to hide it. One member tried to have two guys kill Batman and Robin. The second story is Batman exhaustion story, where he can barely has enough energy to save a deaf man's camera and wallet. It's an interesting backup. The thing with the Beatles is really cool. We have Batman 33. This is the Tom King one, I think. Yes, it is. So another 4 out of 5. So there it is, Daryl. I liked Batman 33. This was Batman and Catwoman meet with Tiger to enter a place protected by the JLA that the JLA guards, and to see Talia about their marriage announcement. Alfred tells the kids about the proposal. Superman calls for Batman, and Alfred has to cover for it. Good issue. Liked it a lot. X-Men Blue 2 through 6. Jean forms a team with Magneto pulling the strings. Magneto has a machine to send them back. They fight Sentinels that appear to be helping mutants, but really are not. They're controlled by Nimrod. They go to help Wolverine's son from Ultimate Universe and have a run-in with Ruska mutants in Madripoor who know Wolverine. They fight Miss Sinister and her evil mutants with Const. Which consist of the ultimate versions of the characters like Quicksilver, Armor, the Guardian, and Mach 2. They escape and finish, but Mr. Sinister leaves a jewel with her image with Jean. Yeah, I really like the X-Men. That was a big story there. We have Eternals Volume 1, Number 1. It was Jack Kirby, Ike Harris, and two. Archaeologists find an Inca ground where they can raise the gods. Meanwhile, the deviants are in the center of the earth. This also shows when the earth was started by humans, deviants, and Eternals. Nice solid issue, especially if you're a Kirby fan. We have Shadow Man from Valiant, Ray Simrud. This is a band. Never heard of them in my life, but they had a Shadow Man one shot. The Devil Went Down the Georgia Crosswind's Tale. So it's a very formulaic, something that we've seen before, where a group sells their soul to a demon in the dead side, and Dr. Mirage and Shadow Man have to rescue them, and that's that band. We have X-Men Gold 2 through 13. The team fights Terrax, and we are introduced to the new Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. Tension very high between the humans and mutants right now. They also face off against Omega Red, the Super Sentinel, which causes Rachel to gain more powers. Gambit joins for a while as he is the reason. I don't know what I wrote there. Gambit joins the group for a while as he is in the reason for their. There were nanites. I don't know what I meant by that, but I remember the story. He actually was robbing, he was preventing a robbery or trying to steal. Kitty and Peter reunited even though she was resistant. Rachel starts relationship with Nightcrawler, which I like. We have X-Men Prime number 1. Orono asks Kitty to lead the X-Men. She wants to quit, but Kitty convinces her to stay. The young X-Men leave the mansion. Kitty moves the mansion to Central Park. That was what kicked off the X-Men Gold, I believe. We have Royal number 2 through 9. This is the Inhumans. I love the Inhumans, and a lot of people shit on them, but I think highly of them. Marvel Boy and the Inhumans seek Kree for a cure for Medusa to find the Terrigen Mist to keep their species alive. They find out Maximus is posing as Black Bolt. They come across Ronin, who destroys their ship. Marvel Boy, along with Ronin, start up a new Supreme Intelligence. The ship is fixed, and they go off into space again looking for help. A strange future story where Marvel Boy appears to be the Accuser, and Maximus is the last Inhuman on Anhala. Where Supreme Intelligence and Ronin, they learned of the existence of Primogen, which Terrigen is derived from. They go find progenitors on Century IV. For the home of the Universal Inhumans, they are ambushed by the Snarks, who are trying to siphon their powers, but manage to defeat the Snarks. We then get into another Valiant, Harbinger Renegade number 8. Chris visits her parents, and Mom wants nothing to do with her, so her mom says, "Get out of here." She devises a plan to put the Hardcore against Solomon. Whatever happened to Solomon? Because they didn't finish this series. I gotta get caught up in there. Ask some friends if what I'm missing. Have Jean Grey 1 through 4. This is the Jean Grey that is was brought back from the past into the future by Beast. This turned out to be a really surprising X-Men title, probably one of my favorites. When Jean is fighting the Wrecking Crew, well, you threw the Wrecking Crew there, and I love them. Matter of fact, I'm going to get a Marvel Girl in the latest previews. The Wrecking Crew shows up in Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, so I have to get it. Where she hears the voices of the Phoenix Force. The rest of the issue, she is meeting with people who have had the Force. Quentin, Peter, Ileana, Hope, Rachel. And then goes to Namor, who also had the Force. She learned the most from Namor, and then seeks out the drunken Odinson Thor to learn how to fight it. The last 4 out of 5 is Adventures into Fear 11 through 13. A sister and brother use the evil magic to resurrect a demon that fights Man-Thing. The kids destroy the book and the demon, and I think this story arc, the sister and brother's father is actually a preacher. And part of sort of like a cult. It's weird, 'cause then they actually turn good and then they have to fight the cult that he was running, kind of thing. African American man is hunted by a racist cop. Man-Thing tries to help the man but finds out he did not commit a murder, so he lets the cop kill the man and then or he did commit the murder. So this guy, he was trying to save, realized he did commit the murder and lets the cop kill the man and then kills the cop with his touch. Pretty very dark story. The kids are back in this time with their grandfather. That is who it wasn't their father, it was their grandfather as a cult. The grandfather runs, is trying to seek out and destroy the book. Seems like it's the family going to play a big part in future issues, and they do. They turn out to be a supporting cast in this particular title. Steve Gerber is the man in my book. Marvel Legacy number 1, Adventures in the Past. To take down the Celestial, and in the future, Loki and others looking to resurrect a new Infinity Gem. Wolverine is alive. This was that one shot where Wolverine was revealed to be alive, and there was a new Infinity Gem. The Thing and Torch fire the flare. Valeria and Franklin seek to find the Earth again, which is very interesting, but I don't think I've read anything where they showed up. But I've been behind in Marvel 2 and 1, so maybe Franklin and Valeria show up there. Cap tries to come out of his clone, destroying everything. Current Ghost Rider fights Starbrand and takes him out. The new Thor, Cap, and Ironheart do a legacy assemble. So this was like launching a bunch of new number ones, and this was like the title that launched it all. The big thing that came out of here was the Infinity Gem and the Wolverine is alive. Black Bolt 4 through 6, we have a great recap of Crusher Creel, Absorbing Man. We have Lockjaw saves Black Bolt from the prison. This is a 5 out of 5, along with Marvel Legacy, which is high for Marvel Legacy. I must have really loved it. Black Bolt decides to help the prisoners escape instead of going to rescue Medusa from Maximus. Absorbing Man makes the ultimate sacrifice by absorbing Black Bolt's voice to take down the evil warden of this particular prison, who turns out to be an inhuman. So again, recapping, that was a total of 45 comics, 2 Valiant, 38 Marvel, and 5 DC for October 16th, 2017. Through October 22nd, 2017. I hope you enjoy this episode, and retweet it so you can potentially get a Marvel 100-page giant Walmart exclusive of Batman. And you can reach me and send me questions and comments and all kinds of things at mike@comicbooknoise.com. That's my email. Or you can catch me on Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch. And I'm on Facebook at Geek Brunch Podcast. You click the like button, you follow all of Mike M's weekly reads, Mike M's Collector's Corner, Geek Brunch, and Geek Brunch Retro there. DC Noise Podcast, you can find my DC, Mike M's DC Monthly Spotlight. You can find DC Spotlight, that I do with Kyle. We only have one episode done so far on the Justice League, No Justice, at DCNoisePodcast.com. And you can catch DC Noise whenever we do one. There was one that was last month. So there was actually a DC Noise last month. So go check it out. Thanks for checking out my podcast. And you can always send me comments and feedback, and I'd like to read it on the episode. So thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this long episode. It was over an hour and a lot of rambling. So take it easy and peace out.